that trio of being a generous person. And the first is that God says, you have to give me some time. If you want to be a generous person toward God, you've got to spend time with Him. Otherwise, you can't know who He is. And so that has to deal with our spiritual maturity and spending time with God. It has to do with worship. It has to do with prayer. It has to do with the Christian disciplines of all of those that you are understanding of and scripture reading and so forth. So if you're generous with God, that means you spend time with Him. The second thing is treasure. The second thing, our talents. If we want to be generous with God, we have to be generous with our talents. God has gifted every single one of you in some ways. And we're all a little bit different. But whatever it is that God has gifted you, He has given you the ability to do certain things. Just a couple of moments ago, you saw a video about people who are generous with the Lord with their talent. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be an astrophysicist to be talented. Some of those things just simply means you have the energy to pick up a shovel of dirt or read a story to a child. But whatever talents that you have, as you express those to other people beyond oneself, you are being generous toward God. The third thing is with our treasure. The Word consistently says to us that we are to give to the Lord the first fruits of all of our earnings. Now, in an agricultural society, of course, that's a different connotation than we have today. In an agricultural society, he's talking about grains, and he's talking about those things that they produced. In our society, primarily, that is a money situation, the first fruits of all that we have earned. Now, money is a very big, hot issue. It is an emotional issue. It's a tense issue. It can be viewed from many different perspectives. And while attending college, Pastor Rick Clayton's answer machine said this. Hi, this is Rick. If this is the phone company, I've already sent in the money. If this is one of my parents, please send money. If this is a friend, you owe me money. If this is a female, I have plenty of money. Would you like to go out? Jesus frequently uses paradoxes when he speaks to us, and at first those things seem at odds with one another until we can kind of delve into them and to see what he really means. There are times when he says, he who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now that seems to be a paradox. How can you find your life by losing it? He says to us, if you really want to live, you must first die to self. How do you live if you're going to die? It seems like a paradox. He says, if you want to be first in the kingdom of God, you must be the servant of all. Well, how are you first and the servant? Isn't the servant the last? It's a paradox. And then he says to us this. When we give generously in whatever it is, with our time, with our talent, or with our treasure, when we give generously, it always results in us having more and not having less. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, he says this to us. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, will people give into your lap. It is this concept that God has given to us that says this. The more we give to the Lord, the more He blesses us, whether it's in any of those three areas that I first mentioned this morning. Now, at first thought, I know what you're thinking to me. You're saying, Pastor, you don't know my finances. I'm broke. I'm barely surviving now. When Jesus gave that story, or he made that statement in Luke chapter 6, he was not talking to the CEOs in the Rotary Club. He was not talking to the people of the Sanhedrin who were quite well off. He was talking to the common people of the day. And the common people of the day in the first century lived day by day. They weren't sure if tomorrow they were going to have enough food, but they lived day by day. These were individuals who had no retirement plans, no IRAs or KEO plans. These were individuals who had very little medical facilities and medical treatment for them. These were individuals that had no long-term plans, no ladder to climb up, no savings account to bank upon. These were individuals who were living day by day, and he says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Those of you who have been part of Bayside for several years know that I've said this statement probably 10 times within our congregation, but I want to make sure that you hear it once again, and that is this. You make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. It's necessary for us to make a living. It's necessary for us to have an income. It's necessary for us to have those resources that we can provide. But the significance and meaning of your life takes on greater significance and greater meaning by the way that you invest what you have been given. And we've been giving a lot. The reason that God asks us to be generous is because He is generous. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world." That's me and you. So God so loved that He gave. And not just a little bit. We know the end of that story is that He gave all that He had. He gave His Son to be a sacrifice that whosoever would believe in Him might have life. You know the word believe, if you look at just at the King James Version, if you look at the word believe, it is found 270 times in Scripture. That means it's a pretty significant and meaningful word. If you look at the word love, it has actually four different meanings to it. But if you look at that word, it is found 714 times in the King James Version. If you look at the word give, it is found 2,162 times in Scripture. God wants you to be a generous giver because He is a generous giver. Dick Norris always says that I've preached a lot better since the Internet came into being. And he is right. I could have never found that on sitting down and going one by one through all the verses. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse that Molly read for you earlier today. And I want to give you some principles about generosity. Generosity multiplies what we have. Verse 6 says, "Remember, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously." Verse 11, "You will be made rich in every way." Why? So that you can enjoy yourself? No. So that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving unto God. When you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. When you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. That is not just simply true in the treasures of our life. It is true in all areas of our life. If you are a grouchy individual all the time and you're bitter toward the world, you're not going to have very many friends. You're going to reap what you sow. If you're consistently critical of other people, you're not going to have very much acquaintances and friendships. You're going to reap what you sow. And in an agricultural society, when you planted the seed of corn, you know what you got up after a period of time? You didn't get potatoes. You got corn. You reaped what you sowed. In addition to that, you didn't just plant one kernel of corn and get one kernel of response. When you planted one kernel of corn, you got a multiple response in an ear of corn. You plant and you reap what you sow. You know, Christmas is coming up here in just a few weeks. And I'm sure for those of you who have children, they've already given you a long list of things that would be appropriate if you wanted to happen to give them to them at that Christmas season. And they get so excited about that. But you know, most of us in this room today are adults. I would guess that rarely any of us are excited about what we're going to get for Christmas. You know what excites you? What you're going to give for Christmas. What you're going to give to that special person who has meaning in your life. What you're going to do maybe for someone who has not as many resources as you have. Generosity always multiplies what we give. Second thing is this. Generosity brings blessing into other people's lives. I'm going to ask Denise Rees and Doug Norris to come up here. And as you saw in the video that we shared, the Do Something campaign a couple of weeks ago. We spent the weekend. We went down to Safety Harbor on Saturday and spent the day down there with 9 different families as well as some other projects. And then on Sunday afternoon, we went to Pinellas Hope and we spent some time there. Doug, just here, grab this one. You get the pink one, Doug. I don't know what that means, but generosity brings blessings into the lives of other individuals. And here's just a couple of individuals who were involved in those things, and I'm going to talk to them and ask them, how did this experience affect your life? And so this is Denise Rees. And Denise, what example, what project were you involved? Which one of those, and what did you do?
I was involved in Pinellas Hope, which is, I believe, one of Betsy Keller's passions is the way it was described to me. And we got there, and I think the thing that was so amazing, I knew that it was a tent city, and I knew that we were going to be serving lunch or a barbecue, and we were doing activities with them. And I was amazed when we got there. Betsy took us on a little tour, and it really is a tent city. It is not just a couple of rows of tents. It is just rows and rows and rows of tents. And as I was looking around, I noticed that everyone had kind of done something to their tent to add like a little individuality. It just maybe shoes outside or some kind of decoration. And we were assigned the cooking duty. Matt was cooking, and I was milling around looking like I was doing something. Kind of like we do at home. Matt cooks, and I try to look busy. And so I was kind of walking around, and there was a group of our family members out front. Kind of, the gorillas were on the back, and we were on the front, and they had you saw in the video, the boards with the bean bag.
Yeah.
I don't know what game that's.
Game.
Yeah. And at first, it was just our group. And then I started noticing more and more of the members, the residents there playing. And by the end of the afternoon, if it wasn't for the fact that they were hungry and we had all this chicken, they were having a blast. And so, you know, for a couple of hours, I don't know what their story is, but for at least a couple of hours, they were able to go and have a good time and just really enjoy the day.
Denise, how did this impact you as a Christian person?
I know I'm blessed, and part of my everyday prayers is, you know, thank you for all that I've been blessed with. But to see these people and how they just keep going and they keep trying, and every day they get up and they just put on their shoes and do whatever it takes to get through their day, not knowing what the next day is going to bring. And it was huge.
Okay. Thank you, Denise. Thank you for being a generous person. You stay up for just a second. Doug, what project were you involved in?
I was at the Maddie Williams.
What did you do there?
I was on pressure washing. So if you know anything about pressure washing, you get started and you can't stop. So by the time I'm done, of course, you can't cause away. There's no place you can stop. So, but I was on pressure washer duty, so we basically, I was with the youth, and we cleaned this whole center outside, and there was also a team inside that painted and took care of some things inside. So we took care of the whole, there's two buildings there, and the kids raked up, and I gotta say, the kids, to me, were the amazing thing. I know you'll say, well, you're saying that because you like Chip. And that's not true.
You don't like Chip, okay.
But the kids, they got here, they were sitting over here at 7:30 in the morning. And you know how kids are at 7:30 in the morning?
Yeah. Andy was. He's like that during the sermon, Andy is, I know. Yeah.
They're sitting over here. And so, you know, there's 30, 40 kids over here. And I got to tell you, when we got to the center, everybody just started doing their job. And the kids were amazed. I mean, I'm down like this to the pressure washer. I look up and over half of this thing's all done. And we're just an hour into it. So they were amazing how they were to paint it. They did everything that was asked of them and did not stop. It's not like they were goofing around or anything like that. They were working. So that was cool to me.
How did this affect your life, Doug? What did you take away from this? What was something you said, I learned X from that?
Well, I told Chip later on, I said, you know, when you're working for someone who needs something, it doesn't feel like work. And And I think that what I took away from that is, as you go out and you give your time, I mean, it's easy for us sometimes to write a check for some things or when people need something, you know, from a monetary standpoint. Sometimes that's easy. But to give our time is sometimes more difficult. It's maybe sometimes more of a sacrifice. And but what I took out of that is those 4 or 5 hours that we spent, it didn't seem like work. And I got to tell you, if you work as hard as all of us do, go give your time and work, and it will be refreshing to you. I didn't look up on it. But other than that, I felt very, very good. And it kind of revitalizes you.
Thanks, Doug and Denise. Thank you for being generous people. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Doug.
The third principle I want to talk to you a little bit about in generosity today is that generosity is an antidote to materialism. Generosity is an antidote to materialism. Verse 10 in the passage that Molly read for us, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." It will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Because when we are generous, it opens up our heart to the things of God. I don't know about you, but I have a feeling that most American people have been caught up in the concept of materialism. I believe we are probably a pretty heavily materialistic world. I know not everyone is, of course. But we also know that we have so much. We get caught up in this, I have to keep up with the Joneses concept. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he says to us, "We cannot serve both God and mammon," or the NIV, "both God and money." We try to, we want to, but he says eventually there will come a point where you have to decide which is more important. It is always our nature, especially if we're non-regenerate people, it's our nature to want something that is bigger and better and newer and to try to find out something the way we can move ahead. And just when we think we've caught up with the Joneses, they refinance and we got to start all over again because they got stuff we don't have. But the insidious nature of materialism is that it's never enough. It's like a tapeworm. Never quite enough. It's an insatiable desire that just sucks the life out of who you are. Did you know that the root word for miser and miserable is the same Greek word? What it says to us, if a miser is an individual who hoards everything, doesn't want to be generous at all, does that make them happy? Does that make them joyous? Does that make them wonder? No, it makes them miserable. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 11 says, "You'll be rich in every way." I don't want to stand here in the pulpit and say to you, if you financially give into the Lord's work, you're going to be a millionaire and rich. I think that's an improper understanding of what the Scriptures are saying here. But I think it does say this, you will be blessed in every way. You will be enriched in every way. Your righteousness will be deeper. Your relationship with God will be stronger. Your love and appreciation for the people of this world will be greater. Your desire to see people come into the kingdom of God will be absolutely enhanced when you are generous. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, he says to us, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." The antidote to materialism is generosity. Every time you are generous, whether it is in the time that you spend with the Lord, whether it is in the talent that you use, such as those who did our Do Something campaign, and many other things as well, or whether it is financially, every time that you are generous, it is a spiritual victory in your heart over materialism. Every time you give to the Lord of time, talent, and treasure, every time you share with someone who is in need, every time you release some of your finances, some of your time, some of your talent, you loosen the grip of materialism around your heart. But the most important thing is this. Generosity is an investment in eternity. Let's take a look at verses 12 and 13 in the passage that was read for us. This service that you perform, Paul says this is a service, an act of service in giving. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. This service that you provided, this service of giving to the Lord, not only provides for those who are immediately around you, not only gives you a feeling of accomplishment and gives you a feeling of success in your relationship with God, it supplies the needs of people and it results in glory to God. As we were on those three projects that particular weekend, and you so generously gave of your time and talents that weekend, as you gave to those individuals, yes, we certainly were blessed by that. But we hope that those individuals to whom we were ministering, whether it was Pinellas Hope or the Saturday night experience with the kids or the Saturday morning experience down at Safety Harbor, that helped those individuals see just a glimpse of what God was like. And God is generous. When we give to the Lord, it supplies the needs of people. In our second service today, we're going to have five people that are going to be baptized. Those people would not be being baptized if you had not given. Because if you had not given, we would not be here. If you had not given, we wouldn't have this facility. If you had not given, we wouldn't have Sunday school teachers that could provide for them. If you had not given, we wouldn't be able to pay this electricity bill. We would not have been able to afford that baptism. We would have not been able to afford people who can talk to them about what does it mean to be a believer in Jesus Christ. We would not have had the opportunity to send 100 of our kids last week, or approximately 100, over to Orlando to a youth convention if you had not given. If you had not given, we would not have been able to provide for that center back there, the Lisa Hassel Center, where we can teach people about Jesus and teach kids how to love God and how to love one another and how to have the parameters of a value experience in life. So every one of you who have given to the Lord, and the dollar amount is in giving with your own expenses. I'm not talking about that. But every one of you who have given unto the Lord through that expression of thanksgiving, through this congregation, when those individuals are being baptized second service, you can look at them and say, I had a part in that. I helped make that happen. It might have only been a few dollars. It might have been thousands of dollars. I had a part in that. But when we don't give unto the Lord, you are basically saying, we don't think this church is necessary. We don't think we should be here. We don't think these things should be happening. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. What if I could show you an investment plan that would pay a phenomenal interest? Now, all of us know that the higher interest you receive, the higher the risk of the investment. That's economics 101. You don't get a high return without high risk. Here is an investment plan that has some phenomenal returns to it. As a matter of fact, it has some dividend paying. It's a dividend paying investment. But it has no risk to it at all. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 to 21. Kind of sounds like a Bernie Madoff deal before I read the scriptures, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, that's all right. You're going to give me 10% and I'm not going to no risk? Yeah, right. Okay, here's the deal. This is what God says to you. This is what he says to those who will be generous with him. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do you lay up treasures in heaven? By being generous and investing your time, your talents, and your treasure in the work of God in this world. Money is a magnet. It's important to us. If you want to become interested in Microsoft stock and you buy some, pretty soon you're checking it every so often to see what it's doing. If you don't have any Microsoft stock, you don't care what it does. It could go to 100 or 10. You don't care. But if you have an investment in it, if your treasure is there, suddenly things change. I want to know what that stock is doing. If you have no investment in the kingdom of God, you say, well, whatever. But when we have invested and when we've laid up our treasures in heaven and where we've invested our time and our talent and our treasure in an experience of giving unto God, every time that we do that, it becomes more and more important to us. Every time we give to God, it draws our heart closer to Him because we are investing in what God approves of, in what He blesses, in what pleases Him. There are some mortuaries that have what is called a burial suit. Ron, I don't know whether your mortuary, you have one of those too? It's a suit that individuals who do not have a suit and they pass away and they say, I'd like to be buried in a suit, but I don't have one. And so the mortuary or the funeral home will put this suit on them. But you know, there's something interesting about that suit. It doesn't have any pockets. And the reason it doesn't have any pockets is because it doesn't need any pockets. There's not going to be anything to put in them. And you've heard the old story about there's no U-Hauls behind the hearse, and that is indeed true. The only thing you're going to take with you into heaven is what you've done on ahead. The only thing you're going to take with you in heaven is what you've done on this earth with what you have been given. The only thing you're going to send ahead is the time and talent and treasure that you have invested in God and the people here on this earth. God is looking for faithful people through whom He can channel resources to influence your community for Jesus Christ. And when we're thinking about the work of the Lord, there is an expression that sometimes we use, and that is this. You've ever heard somebody say, well, you got to give till it hurts? I don't believe that. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And when you do that, you will know you're being obedient in the kingdom of God. God doesn't want you to give out of pressure. He doesn't want you to give because I'm asking you to. He doesn't want you to give reluctantly. Oh, I guess I have to do this. He doesn't want you to give out of guilt. God wants you to give voluntarily, lovingly, and cheerfully. Because He knows that when you do that, you will be blessed, this congregation will be blessed, this community will be blessed, and God will be glorified. Father, we love You today. And even as we have shared today about being generous on this special Thanksgiving week when we are reminded to be thankful for the things that we have, we thank You for the privilege and the opportunity to give to those in need. We thank You for the privilege of giving to God, the greatest investment system in the world. And we are thankful that You promise that when we give to You, You will open the storehouse of heaven and pour out a blessing that's almost too big for us to receive. God, tear us away from the God of materialism and selfishness. Tear us away from thinking that everything is about us. Help us to lift up our eyes and look into the hills that are white for harvest. Help us to be instruments that You can use with our time and talent and treasure to make God's kingdom grow, to be influential and significant in the community in which we live. For it is all done in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who gives every good and perfect gift to each one of us. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
One thing that I want to say, thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord. given to me. For all the blessings that I cannot see, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to add something. Congregation in our community. And for those of you who have given financially to make this day possible, this building possible, these people who are going to be baptized possible, those individuals that are ministering to our kids possible, I just want to say thank you, because it is because of you that we can continue working in the kingdom of God.